ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Lawrie Wyman, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and due to the illness of John Pertwee, Frank Thornton. Most husbands, I'm not much of a do-it-yourself man around the house, as I'm constantly reminded by my wife. I'm nothing like as good as our clever Dick next-door neighbor is. After a weekend's work, he's standing head high in the complete ideal home, and I'm standing knee-deep in bent nails, pieces of wood that won't fit, knocked over paint tins, rubble, collapsed ceilings, and broken-down walls. You name it, and I'm standing in it. So, I suppose, to a certain extent, is Uncle Ebenezer Pertwee, who is at this moment in Captain Povey's office and about to discover he's got a major redecorating problem on his hands.
You're round the twist! Tarting the tug or tense over cost me a bomb!
I'm sorry, Nancy, but the decision is final.
Yeah. Admiralty are refusing to renew your contract for naval work until your filthy, dirty, grimy tug stops looking like a chimney sweep's dream.
That does it! You've insulted all tense now! Don't you realize it's only the soot and the coal dust all over her that's keeping her afloat?
Sorry. The Admiralty's decision is final.
Easy.
Get that tug of yours cleaned up and seaworthy, or no contract.
Right. Well, I'm telling you now, I don't give that for your rules and regulations, and that goes for Hortense and Auntie as well.
I take it you upset the old gentleman.
However did you guess?
Oh, just a woman's intuition. And the fact that he appears to have poured a bottle of ink all over your shirt.
Oh, this is awful. What on earth is my wife going to say when she sees my shirt? She'll go berserk.
Then I suggest you buy another one.
But how can I? I've already used my Saturday sixpence pocket money on a new washer. And a new washer from the bicycle park.
Well, what do you know? Finally, I've met the last of the big spenders.
Well, I had no choice. It kept going... instead of... So I had to buy a new washer.
Serves you right. How you've got the brass nerve to grind that poor old innocent gentleman into the ground is beyond me. Don't interrupt. I haven't finished yet. It's depriving an old man of his living. How you and your high and mighty cohort can live with yourselves after taking a cold, unscrupulous decision like this is beyond the comprehension of a mere weak woman like myself.
Weak?
Quite a bit. You realize you're endangering the whole structure of civilization?
Now, look here.
If I can get a word in. What happens now if a frigate like Tulpridge gets stuck on a sandbank? And with Mr. Phillips navigating, that can happen. What happens
Wrenches.
If they can get... Well?
Wrenches. Mr. Ebenezer Pertwee has had a contract with the Royal Navy for the use of his tug for the past 10 years. And during that time, he had received an annual increment from the maintenance of the tug Hortense, which I, for one, am prepared to give odds of 1,000 to 1 he has used to purchase brown ale instead of paint.
Oh. Well, might have told me that in the first place. Before I made a complete nonner of myself.
Who is with Al?
Me, Pertwee.
Now enter onto the wardroom with gladness in your heart. And at a fine turn of speed.
Thank you, Pertwee.
You, wanted to see me urgently?
Yes, Commander Murray. He's the black sheep of our brethren, a C.P.O. Pertwee, who is causing me some concern on this occasion. I haven't seen his ugly moosh for a day or two.
haven't you heard? He's in sick bay.
Oh, the twinging screws have struck again?
No, not this time. According to the M.O., he's got a nasty attack of, there's a lot of it about.
Archie.
They've sent us a replacement. He's a C.P.O. Nathaniel Pertwee. He's a cousin.
Oh, crumbs. Hang on a tick while I nip below and nail down everything in the Padre's tab. Padre's house.
I shouldn't bother. If this one is anything like the rest of the family, he'll pinch the nails as well as the font. Now, what else did you want to see me about?
Well, it is another of our brethren who is giving me some cause for concern, to wit, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
No, you got that the wrong way round, Padre. It's Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, to wit.
I wondered if you had any idea as to why Mr. Phillips has suddenly taken it upon himself to become a hermit. Apart from his nautical duties, he has remained within his cabin in seclusion on his Todd. On his Todd.
Yes, well, now you've mentioned it, I haven't seen him either. Perhaps he's doing his Noddy Comic Junior crossword puzzle. As it comes out weekly and it takes him a fortnight to do it, he's always about 6 months behind and can never catch up.
Never catch up.
I do beg your pardon, Parkinson.
Not at all. Occupational hazard.
But about Mr. Phillips, I know what you mean. It's all very worrying.
Hello, chaps. Chaps, congratulate me. I'm a woof-woof.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, isn't it marvellous? I'm no longer a bow-wow. No, I'm a woof-woof. Every time I'm in London, I can eat at the kennels.
You were right, Padre. He's gone over the hill. I think our little pal's active life isn't going to be prolonged much longer.
No, you don't understand. The kennels is our HQ. It's nothing to do with my being man's best friend.
Oh, Tish, but I was going to settle down and get my lap ready for him.
I was going to take him for walkies.
Oh, very funny. Yeah. Now, this is a genuinely scientific honor. Woof-woof stands for World's Own Observatory Federation Watching Odd Objects of the Firmament.
The mind boggles, but one just has got to ask, what is a bow-wow?
Didn't you know? It stands for Britain's Own Wizard World of Wonderful Space.
May one dare to ask what is the difference between a bow-wow and a woof-woof?
Age and experience. One has to become a bow-wow before one becomes a woof-woof.
Oh, I see. You have been promoted.
Exactly. I've been sitting my exams. That's why I've been in my cabin all this time, studying psychic phenomena. You know, flying saucers, poltergeists, and all that.
Oh, dear, he's going to hear things that go bump in the night any time now.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, I knew it!
No. Last night, exactly at midnight, I was lying in my bunk, and I was suddenly aware that my alarm clock was going tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
What's so strange about that?
Nothing much. Just that it usually goes tock-tick.
Tock-tick, oh, shut up!
No, he's right, you know. I heard his alarm clock. And ever since he cleaned it out with petrol, put it in the galley oven to dry out, and it blew up, it does go toxic, toxic.
Oh, stop being ridiculous. Come in.
CPO Lieutenant Pertwee at your service. Sorry to interrupt you in the midst of your conversationals, but Captain Pertwee wishes to have a word in command of Murray as Mr. Phillips is at his own master legs.
Oh, dear, what have you done now? You've only been aboard 2 days.
I resent the nasturtium, sir.
Chief, may I point out that you committed a malapropism? What you meant was insinuation. An assertion is a genus of pungent tasting cruciferous plants, including watercress, a trailing garden plant with bright orange flowers of Indian origin.
Pardon yours, sir?
It means it's a blasted flower. Take no notice, we've got used to him.
It means he's been studying again.
Yes, I'm a woof-woof.
Oh, shut up! Let's get to Captain Povey's office and find out what old Thunderguts wants this time. So, the situation is this, gentlemen.
It's going to be a long and...
As I understand it, from certain coded signals that I receive from their lordships, an unexplained psychic phenomenon has been observed off the Needles on the Isle of Wight. Now, for the last 5 nights, since his license has been renewed, we have sent yet another relative of yours, Chief, Mr. Ebenezer Pertwee, and his tarted-up tug Hortense, round the island to see if the lighthouse is still working.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, the lighthouse keeper of the Needles has reported an unearthly glowing object hovering around the island over the last week or so.
Stone me. It's a wonder you haven't killed the old goat. He's only got to see the lights coming on in Gosport High Street when he's not expecting him, and he reports 85 unidentified flying objects.
that is the odd thing. From the reports we've received, this eerie light seems to hover around Nunky's tug like a vulture waiting for the kill. But Nunky's never seen it.
There have been other similar cases reported. The saucer sends down a hypnotic ray, and you become a slave to its beam.
Eh?
What? Big pardon?
Now, I realize you haven't studied the subject as I have, but there was the singularly unnerving case of the creeping shroud, which is still unexplained.
What happens?
Nobody knows. That's why it's still unexplained. But don't worry. We Woof-Woofs are still working on it, and the terrifying results will be fully reported in the minutes of our next general meeting.
Where are you holding that? Stonehenge?
Stop you all this old rubbish.
Scoff if you like, but I'm a licentiate.
You filthy beast.
You seem to pass your exam or rather concerned with the scientific investigation of odd objects.
Yes, well, he's one for a start.
The point is, Nunky's refusing to put to sea anymore until Admiralty solved the mystery of this strange apparition that keeps following him about.
Yes, it all follows. It's identical to the unidentified flying object that was sighted over Texas.
Oh, dear, he's off again.
To us Woof-Woofs, it was undeniable proof of an invasion from outer space.
What?
The facts speak for themselves. One day, 14 thriving ranches, a thickly populated city. Next morning, nothing. Except 25,000 head of unattended cattle.
But if there's anything in your theory, why didn't the cows go as well?
Simple. Martians don't drink milk.
Witnesses to all this?
Of course not. That's another reason why they left the cows. If you ask them anything, they can only say moo, so it doesn't matter to anybody.
I've never heard so much codswallop in all my life. However, you have made up my mind, Bonnie.
Well done. Would you like me to put you up for a bit of licentiousness as well, sir?
No, thank you. No, I meant that somebody has got to go out each night to track down this eerie light and find out who or what is behind it. Trowbridge will sail tonight and every night to be on station off the Needles before midnight.
Me guest! It's the same as what Jonesy's got, only worse. Much as I'd like to be with you, sir, I'd only be a burden to me fellow shipmates. If I may borrow your lodgings, Captain Povey, sir, I'll chew them as I attempt to hobble to the MI room on me own. I don't want to cause nobody no trouble, sir. No. Send us a car from whatever planet you end up on, gent.
Keith.
No. No assistance, sir. No. However, if things do get a bit dicey, send a signal and I'll have a word in the ear hole of my personal friend, Dr. Who.
Dr. Who? Oh, that's the one with the funny haircut and the craggy face, eh? He's president of the Woof-Woofs.
He's that a fact, sir. Well, he do get about, don't he? And now, if you'll excuse me, sir, the nurses and team of doctors are standing by, and I'd hate to keep them waiting.
Chief, sir, forget it.
Oh.
You are coming with us.
Yes, back to your ship, gentlemen. There's only 2 hours to dusk, and I want you to be stationed off the Needles by midnight to observe what occurs.
Could I ask one tiny last favor, sir?
Very well, Mr. Phillips. What is it?
If we don't come back, sir, would you be so kind as to look after the cattle?
No sign of the unspeakable horror hovering above the briny yet. I'm happy to say.
So am I, sir. Mind you, it's not quite midnight yet.
Then, of course, there was the case of the strangling seaweed. No one on board the SS Skylark noticed the rapidly growing tentacles of this unspeakable horror creeping up the anchor chain and reaching over the sides of the doomed ship to snatch the crew one by one into its ever-open jaws.
SS Skylark?
It was a cattle ship. And funny enough, the strangling seaweed left the cattle because all they could say is moo, and that doesn't get
anywhere. Oh, stop! Out of everybody.
I tell you what, chaps. While we're waiting out here in the dark, let's have a bit of a sing-song. Chaps?
I don't know any song, sir. I'm here as a temporary CPO, not a relief Tom Jones.
Oh, I know one. How about, if you were the only ghoul in the world?
No, thank you. No, we want something cheerful, something vertical. I know. How about, 15 men on a dead man's chest? On second thought, here's a better one. Many brave hearts are sleeping. Anybody else got a number?
Well, I've got a tiny jollity. How about this? Verse one.
Yeah, just a minute. How many verses are there?
Nobody knows, sir, but it does exceed Eskimo now. All for good, then. And a party of vampire from Ealing lost his seat and got fed up with kneeling. But he, being a bat, had the answer to that, and he hung upside down from the ceiling. Verse two. 14 banshees and ghosts from Madras were having
a... Thank you!
Thank you, you've
cheered us up quite enough. Yeah, how about letting me sing my society's indoctrination song? The one we sing before all our meetings, huh? I know I'm going to regret this, but... Go ahead. Oh, thanks very much. Do, re, mi. How much is that woof woof in the window? Last week I was just a bow wow. How much?
Don't ring out, sir. We won't ring you.
Bridge? Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein, chaplain. You finished caterwauling amongst yourselves?
Yes.
Oh, good. And I can take the cotton wool out of my ears. Speaking as an unbiased and unfortunate listener, I'd say you lot wouldn't even make a Ponty Dowlais and Ponty Prees combined male voice choir on a rainy day. She's just as well because they've been disbanded.
Oh, we were just trying to cheer ourselves up.
Oh, were you? Well, as far as I'm concerned, you failed miserably. Oh, and in case you hadn't noticed, in the middle of your excruciating evensong, we are just running onto a... By the sound of that little lot, I'd say there was a heck of a welcome in the floating hillside. Lucky.
Well, there's only one thing to do now. Radio Captain Povey and ask him to send out a tug to pull us off.
Now, isn't that a pity? Couldn't we just wait for high tide and float off?
Mr. Phillips, it is high tide.
And if we're still here at low tide, we'll fall over.
Now, who's going to make the call to Captain Purvey? No. All right. All right. I will.
Go to it, Stevie, baby.
Henry Purvey?
Yes, Ramona, my love.
Are you kneeling comfortably?
No, my love.
Good, then I'll begin. Prisoner of Zenda, Chapter 1. Rupert of Hensource, down challengingly at the fair Princess Flavia, who was looking radiant in her low-cut horse thundering through the forest.
Ramona, my love.
Well?
That didn't make sense. She can't have been wearing a low-cut horse.
Possibly not. But ladies' garments of apparel are none of your business, so I skipped a paragraph. Right. Radiant in her low-cut horse thundering through the forest, bearing King Rudolph back from his coronation.
I'd rather see what Princess Flavia was bearing in her low-cut horse.
Henry!
Sorry, my love, it just slipped out.
Very well, but don't let it happen again. One more course from. Just one more, Henry, and I shall have again.
Oh, no, no, no. I'll be a good Henry, my love.
As King Rudolph reined in his horse on the woodland track, Princess Flavia emerged from behind the tree, bowing low, thereby showing her...
Showing her what? Her what?
Her obeisance.
Well, at least it wasn't another low-cut horse.
Dismounting, King Rudolph flexed his handsome, rippling... Oh, bother, isn't it always the same? Just as one's having a fun evening, the telephone rings.
Well, just as well, otherwise I'm sure King Rudolph would have been flexing his handsome, rippling, low-cut horse.
Silence! Ramona is answering her Ramona paid for telephone. Hello? Ramona Purvis residence, who's speaking? I do not accept reverse charges.
Why, you baby, old man. What? My word's already did this time, Purvis. It's even worse than being stuck at home with that ghastly wife.
This is Ramona Purvis speaking.
Oh, come, boom together.
Henry, it's a person for you. Permission to use the telephone. Oh,
thank you, my love. Hello, Captain Purvis speaking.
Commander Bracewell, sir. Intelligence, old man. My word, I wouldn't be in your shoes, old chap. Not with this one.
Oh, no, please don't tell me. It's Troutbridge, isn't it?
Got it in one, old man. They couldn't get you, so they got me. But now I've got you, and oh boy, have I got you.
Oh, good grief. They were right. I misjudged them. They've disappeared, never to be seen again. I shall have to look after all those cattle after all. Oh, those poor devils have been swallowed up by the thing.
That's it. That's a panic, what? But you're hopelessly wrong. They're stuck on a sandbank. Better get a tug and tell them all.
Oh, I will. I will.
Up to you, old boy, but the problem's all yours now, and you're welcome to it.
With respect, Commander Murray, sir. I do hope Nunky and his tug get us off this sandbank before the captain of the unspeakable horror from outer space zooms down, whips us off the ice seas, and makes us slave to his glowing orb.
Oh, gee, for goodness sake. Frighten yourself if you must, but stop frightening us.
I'm not frightened. We woof-woofs know about these things.
Oh, stone me. I suppose if Frankenstein's monster was created today, you'd know a way to stop him going berserk.
Yes, certainly. Standing to the scientific mind, nothing is impossible. I'd get him to stand on top of a gas stove, turn the rings on full blast, wait till the heat melted his big lead boots. Then let him fall flat in his face and not bother to pick him up.
Brilliant. And what's your simple solution to destroying Count Dracula, the vampire bat?
Now, funny enough, that came up in our last general meeting. I'd take him to a national health dentist and have his fangs taken out. Then I'd have him fitted with false choppers. That'll stop his fun and gang.
Never heard so much old tooth in my life.
Neither have I, sir. But what bothers me is what's going to happen if that Cohen Phenominimum turns up here and refuses to have its fangs out or its boots melted on the gas stove.
Bridge?
Starboard lookout here, sir. Lead him, Seaman Goldstein, chattering. But not for much longer.
What are you talking about, Goldstein?
I'm talking about that eerie glow approaching us around the corner of the island. And if you want any more information about it, I suggest you look for yourselves, because I shan't be here.
Goldstein, what are you...
Good heavens, look. What's that?
Where?
There. Yeah! Men, the boats! I'm just as valuable as all the other Pertwee's lads. Save Nathaniel from somebody's glowing orb.
Don't be quiet. Phillips, you're the expert. Think of something.
I have thunk, but it's no good. Whatever it is out there, it doesn't look as if it'll wait until I can get a gas stove to put it on.
We're all going to be wiped out. Nathaniel Pertwee's a neutral. I can prove it. Listen.
Yes, don't panic, Chief. It's all right. I've got the Society's magic words on my membership card to get rid of the phenomena. Now, close your eyes, chaps. When you open them, it'll be gone. Ready? Ready? Bow-wow, bow-wow, woof, woof, woof. Off you go, ghosty, in a cloud of poof.
Thank you.
Can I open the eyes now, sir? Has it gone?
Well, no. But it's definitely dimmer.
Yeah, it's also a lot closer.
What are you naming, Lunanas? Got yourself marooned again? This'll cost you a bob or two.
No, see, you daft old twit. Steam all part of it. There's a great big glowing thing hovering over your tongue.
Hey,
gee. The great big glowing thing is Nunky's tongue.
Yeah, where is it?
You stupid old goat. I know what you've done. Johnsy warned you not to use that luminous painting, Nick. Borrowed from the store.
Right. I think we know the answer to everything now.
Yeah, so do I. Ask Nugget to come aboard and I'll stick his boots on the gas stove.
Oh, shut up!
As soon as you pull us off this sandbag, Mr. Pertwee, you'll follow us back to Portsmouth as fast as possible so that we can make a full report to Captain Foby.
I don't believe it. Nucky, the phantom phenomenon. I inspected his tug after dark last night, and it doesn't glow at all.
No, no, that was my fault. After Nucky got us off the sandbank, I ordered full ahead both, in reverse, straight ahead.
Hey?
That's what you said at the time, actually. And in an effort to keep up with us, Nunky's tug blew so much soot out of the funnel, he covered all the glowing paint.
Yeah, really?
Now, just a minute. I'm an expert. After all, I'm a certified woof-woof.
That's another thing. What is a woof-woof?
Now, it's a small and select band of enthusiasts who filled in the coupon on page 3 of the Boys Astronaut Weekly.
Beg pardon?
It's recognized throughout the world.
You mean all that old guff about lead boots, fangs, and hairy monsters was coming out of your perishing comic, sir?
It may be a perishing comic to you, but it's science to me.
Let's face it, Mr. Phillips, the fact that a wheel is round is science to you.
Well, it isn't to me.
Oh, I should have known. Lights in the sky, psychic phenomena. Ranches disappearing, people getting their boots melted. What sort of a fool do you take me for?
Yeah, don't answer that.
Hello, Captain Poby here. Graceful hero, man. Well, it's happened again. The psychic phenomenon has been sighted again off the Isle of Wight.
Well, but that's not possible.
It is, you know. Better send Carpenter out again to investigate.
But this is ridiculous. Monkey's back in the dock.
And so will you be, old man, if you don't sort it out this time. Soonly, bye.
But gentlemen, it's time. It seems that another glowing apparition off the Isle of Wight, and you must put to sea again immediately.
Ah, me chest! Oh, it's much worse than what Johnsy has ever had. Bring him back! But don't tell him what for.
And I can't go yet. I haven't made my report to the Chief Woof-Woof.
Oh, come on, Jeff. I can't go out and face whatever it is on my own.
Ta-ta, sir. Bring us back a stick of luminous rock.
Phillips, Stephen Murray, and Frank Thornton have been hunting flying saucers in the Naval Ark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, Frank Thornton was the chief petty officer, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Purvey was Heather Chasten, Nunky was Daniel Evans, and Commander Bracewell was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.
Leslie Phillips is now appearing in The Man Most Likely To at the Vaudeville Theatre in London.